This is Kieran Healy from Mackenzie Bridge, Oregon, and I'm speaking on the Feast of St. Stephen for the 26th day of December, and using this theme to place the setting of Christ's coming way beyond the Act, chapters 6 and 7. Stephen, filled with grace and power, was working great wonders and signs among the people. Certain members of the so-called synagogue of freedmen, Cyrenians and Alexandrians, people from Cilicia and Asia, came forward and debated with Stephen, but they could not withstand his wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. When they heard this, they were infuriated, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked up intently to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out in a loud voice, covered their ears, and rushed upon him together. They threw him out of the city and began to stone him. The witnesses laid down their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul. As they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And so, the word of the Lord. With today's feast, we take steps into a fuller understanding and appreciation of the church's celebration of Christmas. At Easter, we find the octave kind of as a seamless garment developing the theme of the resurrection. We see the variety of ways that the early communities began to expand their hopes for an afterlife with God. The Feast of Christmas is quite different. It develops later in time, and the Feast of St. Stephen today is a shocking contrast with the warm, familiar, and human savoring of Christmas and the beginnings of life. But the week is full of surprises. The Holy Innocents also shock us with the enormity of innocent life that is snuffed out. John, the beloved disciple, seems more in harmony with the festive season. But then, even later in the week, the feast of Thomas a Becket, a martyr of later times, gives an almost contemporary flavor to the enduring spirit and contrasts of Christmas, the beginning of life, the taking of life, the affirmation of life's marvelous value for us all. Christmas is all about the life of God among us. The church wisely juxtaposes life and death, suggesting the infinite value and gift and opportunity we all share in this wonderful gift of life. Christmas is not just a sentimental feast, nor is it a one-time-only turkey on the table, Christmas tree out on the curb on the 26th sort of celebration. How heartbreaking that is. The real gift of Christmas is the eruption of God in Christ into human history. It's the beginning of the promise that our lives are more than an indifferent passing shadow in time. Christmas is a feast of life and promise, and oh, how we need to hear that at this time. In the reading of Acts for today's feast of St. Stephen, the first martyr, we're shocked by the violence of the scriptures themselves. The translation says the various synagogue's officials were infuriated, but the original is much stronger. They were ripped through their hearts. And again, the echo of Old Testament scriptures, they gnash their teeth. Here a reference to the hostility of the wicked against the righteous by those who are excluded from the kingdom of God. Then Stephen sees the heavens broken open and one like the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. We might be surprised to find Christ not seated but on a heavenly throne, but standing. But by standing, he appears as an advocate on Stephen's behalf, and indeed on our behalf as well. This being said, the focus of our attention this year is swept away from us by the incomprehensible slaughter of 20 innocent school children in Connecticut and by their heroic teachers who intervened and lost their lives on their behalf. Words cannot express our grief. As parents reassuringly hug their own children and the names and faces flash up on the television screen before a grieving nation. How very, very precious is this gift of life, which we share for but a passing moment. Perhaps, as a culture, we've been losing sight of how precious and holy the gift of life is, which we all share. I'm always looking for something practical that we ordinary people can do. How can I meet this situation? I really have authority only over myself, and that doesn't work out too well either. What can I do in the face of the massive changes that are needed in our church, our culture, and our world? I'd like to take the heroic prayer of Stephen and make it my own. Stephen is abused by the hostile officials, let outside the city, and in the custom of the time, the witnesses would cast stones at him. A man would be stripped of his clothing. But here there's only mention made of the witnesses laying down their cloaks at the feet of Paul, implying that he was a person of some authority and respect, something he'll have to deal with later on in his life. Stephen looks up and sees the heavens opening and Jesus standing by the throne of God as his advocate, and he makes this prayer. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Which is, of course, a kind of echo of that more familiar prayer, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. I connect my life with the purpose of Jesus as he stands before the incomprehensible mystery and beauty of God the Father, the very being of life itself. By appropriating this heroic prayer to my own humble and negligible condition, I enter more fully into the meaning of life itself and let the power of its force just pour down upon me with the very purpose and joy and love which God takes in creating me and sustaining all of us in life. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. We reach for the purpose of God and in a way echo the more familiar words, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, words that sometimes we repeat without fully realizing their implications. I want to use this simple but profound prayer of Stephen, a kind of mantra, change it if you wish, but use it to form my life more fully to the purpose and spirit of Jesus, who is our brother, our friend, our advocate before the Father, to gain a focus in this difficult time. Such a prayer could lead us into new ground and make active the promises of our baptism and even the small gestures we're able to make in service, love, and affirming the divine presence in the lives of our brothers and sisters. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Lord Jesus, make me truly alive to the gifts and opportunities of this season, the full possibilities and risks of the life within which you sustain me in every waking moment. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Let this prayer lead us into our own discoveries of the richness of God's love in our own lives. Look up. Let the heavens open upon your humble gestures of praise and recognition. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And in these few simple words, claim your life in praise and union of God, who yesterday and today is born among us. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.